and most of the time our slide deck is, here's our list of satisfied customers. Here's how many years we've been in business. Here's who we are. Here's who we focus on. Here's our list of satisfied clients. Here's our executive team. And we don't get to customer until slide 8 or 9, right?
You're listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Each episode, your host, author, and lawyer coach, Steve Fritzen, will take a deeper dive, helping you grow your law practice in less time with greater results. Now, here's your host, Steve Fritzen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Be That Lawyer. I am Steve Fritzen. I hope you're having a lovely day here in Chicago. It is horrible. It's rainy. It's windy. It's humid. But we have beautiful summers in Chicago. So forget everything I just said. Listen, it's all about you, the lawyer. How are you building your book? How are you sustaining business? How are you making the most out of each day? Cranking out work. I get it. Billable hour. I get it. I'm on board with you. However, as you know, having your own book of business, your own clients provides the freedom financially, provides the freedom from a time perspective to spend with your family, if you can get those clients in the door and build that book. So to help you out with that today, I've got a friend of mine and a terrific sales trainer, Tom Latouré, who is with, he's the managing partner of M3 Learning. And he's going to talk to us today about the dirty word of sales. How's it going, Tom?
Good, Steve. How you doing? Yeah, you are right. So many people think about sales and whoa, hey, hold on a minute. I'm not that guy.
Yeah, it's a five-letter word, not a four-letter word. But it seems like a four-letter word. And, you know, I talk about sales-free selling, and even that might turn a stomach because I have the word sales in, even though it has the word free after it, that still might upset some poor little snowflakes out there. Anyway, do me a solid and give a little background on yourself and your business, you know, so we can get a flavor of that.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been national sales manager of manufacturing companies, distribution companies. About 25 years ago, I was managing about 50 salespeople, 5 regional managers. And one of my regional managers came in and said, hey, I just read this great book called Proactive Sales Management. It's by this guy, Skip Miller. We should hire him and come in. So we hired Skip. He came in and worked in our company. I felt like, you know, I'm sure you've had these moments, Steve, where you feel like you get hit in the head with a ton of bricks. You're like, man, why didn't I know that 5 years ago, 10 years ago? And I had a moment like that with Skip. And then our organization grew from $37 million to $500 million. We became a $500 million company and we got purchased by Fortune Brands. And I decided to teach and coach and consult the M3 philosophy, which was Skip Miller's stuff. And so I've been doing that for 10 years for organizations of all size, small, medium, large, entrepreneurial, Fortune 500 companies. And we do it in all industries and nonprofits, service industries, all of that. So,
yeah, we have a similar story, actually. And I think we talked about this when we first met, that I worked with a coach when I was in the franchise space selling franchises, you know, nationally. And, you know, I thought I was the bee's knees. I was locking up deals. I was, you know, one or two, you know, top players on the list and the whole thing. And this guy came in and just was like, everything you're doing is backwards. Everything you're doing is wrong. You're chasing after people that aren't even qualified. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. And yeah, like within 6 months, I had essentially doubled what I was doing when I thought I was good. So it's just amazing how much coaching can help. And obviously you and I have not only had the Kool-Aid, but we're now doing things we never thought we would do and helping as many people as we can to kind of see, you know, better ways of doing that. So
Steve, for folks, it's not necessarily like I have to shift everything. It's this place. I'm already an A player. What does it take? What's that small thing, that one or two things that all of a sudden, I know I should be doing that, but now I just need to be, I need to just proactively do it. I need to, you know, intentionally do it versus just it happening. Right.
Or maybe just even having the accountability, you know, just having someone in your corner, you know, telling you're trying to lift bench press 8 times and you're at 6, you need someone to get you those extra 2.
Come on. You can do that.
Let's do it.
Just 2 more. Right. Yeah.
And I've got all kinds of different, you know, shoes and boots for different occasions and different types of people. So, what's sort of the gist of the M3 philosophy? What are you guys, you know, preaching that would be beneficial to professional service providers like attorneys?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, one of the things we talk, so our whole premise is proactive sales and proactive sales management. It's that space of let's stop being reactive and just kind of being Cro-Magnon, you know, just doing what we do really well. Let's get intentional about it. Let's think about what we're doing. And there's two places in a sales process that we try to help organizations really focus on. And the first is that discovery process. The very first or second conversation you're having with somebody, and especially in professional services. But what I find a lot in professional services is, I'm a great lawyer. I've gone to school to become a great lawyer, and lawyering is what I do really, really well. And so the first time I'm meeting somebody is, I want to tell you what makes me different from all the other lawyers. And I want to tell you my experience, and I want to tell you everything that I've done. And here's how I've earned my credentials, because I need to earn your credibility and trust, right?
Yeah.
But the reality is, in that first conversation, it's really all about the other person. And how do I find out why they're even having this conversation with me? What's the problem they're struggling with? What's that problem costing them? What is that problem? And if I could fix that problem for them, what impact could that have on themselves, on their business, whatever, right? And so we all know those salespeople who, the first time they meet you, it's like, oh, blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you all about, you know, I liken it to one of the analogies I use is, you would never start a first date by saying, hey, I know exactly the kind of guy you're looking for. Let me tell you all about me. Here's what I do.
And I better change up my approach to dating women based on that.
But you would never do that. You would never say, hey, let me show you how much money I have in my bank account. Let me show you all my scores and grades from grammar school and high school. But I challenge most sales organizations to take a look at their introductory slide deck. And most of the time, our slide deck is, here's our list of satisfied customers. Here's how many years we've been in business. Here's who we are. Here's who we focus on. Here's our list of satisfied clients. Here's our executive team. And we don't get to customer until slide 8 or 9, right? And
so, well, I mean, even the fact that all lawyers know, when you go out on, you know, quote, a sales call, they call it a pitch meeting. And there's a reason they call it a pitch meeting, because that's what they're doing. They're going out and they're pitching services. And even if there are questions asked, even if there is some level of discovery, I can almost guarantee, based on working with, you know, thousands of attorneys and being in this space a long time, that the questioning is limited. The questioning and the depth of the questioning that you and I are teaching is not at the level that it could be or should be to get where we really want to take people, which is to the depth of not just understanding the surface of their problems, but what's beneath
really
the surface.
Down,
that's really where. Yeah. So when you say the cost of the problem, the impact of the problem, the how is this, you know, what happens if nothing changes? And you can get the prospective client, the GC, the CEO, whomever, to open up and really share personal and emotional elements of their situation, not the transactional elements and not things on the surface, right? That's really where the business is made, not the team I'm bringing in and not the solutions I'm going to, or the free consulting I'm going to provide in this 30-minute meeting.
We teach something, I'm sure you probably teach something very similar to this. We teach something called the three levels of why. And what I see a lot of salespeople do, business communication folks do, they think their job is to ask questions. And so they ask this question and the customer will actually give them some information and they'll go, oh, great. Let me write that down. Now, let me ask you another question. And then let me ask you another question, instead of drilling down and get the answer to that one. And so that three levels of why is, the first answer is a rapport answer. The second level is this rationalization answer. So somebody starts rationalizing why they're doing something, why the, you know, the status quo, why we're okay with the way we've always done it.
Yeah.
But the real piece is that third or fourth question. And sometimes it's not even a question. It's just, hey, that's interesting. Tell me more about that. Why are you guys doing it that way? You know, and that place of, we call it, at least I like to say, increase your curiosity quotient. You know, just be more curious, right?
And the interesting thing is that lawyers, you know, have that skill. It's in there. I mean, they have to question people. They have to, you know,
that's what they do for a living, right?
It's their job, right? And so they do, but they do it in the academic sense, in the matter they're working on and with people that they're deposing or have on the stand or whatever the case might be. And the other thing, you just said three of the best words that exist in business development, and that is tell me more. And then shut your face. You know, someone tells you something, they didn't give you all the details, and just ask, you know, that sounds really challenging or interesting or whatever the case might be. Tell me more about that.
Yeah.
Okay. And then zip it and then wait and hear what comes next. And I'm going to add one more thing to that, Tom. And this has really been a big push that I've had with my clients is tell me more. And they do. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then I would, the next depth level of depth of question, if you haven't had it come out yet, is, you know, do you have a specific example of what happened and how that impacts? So let's say, for example, a lawyer is talking to someone about, you know, a divorce and they're getting the tell me more. And I hate her for this and I hate her for that and blah, blah, blah. You know, and she's a double crosser, whatever the case might be. All right. There's lots of pain on the table. Okay. And then the lawyer asks, you know, do you have an example or two of how she, of when she did that type of thing? And the person gets into a story. Now, what happens, Tom, when someone starts telling a story that is like an example or story of something from the past that it wasn't a good story, right? It wasn't a happy story. What happens in that discovery, in that exploration?
Well, you find out, what we find is that you find out, we call it a restorative past. It's either that I go back to that place that I want to be, or that place that I never, ever want to be in again, right?
Yeah.
And so then it's the place of how do I bring you to the future, right? Once I understand that place of hurt and anger and frustration and pain, okay, great. How do we make sure that doesn't occur again? What are the things we need to do? What does that future look like now down the road?
Yeah. You know, what I try to get lawyers to, and my clients, you know, listening to this are going to be nodding their head as I say it, is, you know, we can get what I call apparent reasons for change.
Yeah, that's good too.
You know, somebody saying, you know, my wife cheated on me, or let's take a different legal issue. Let's say it's, you know, my partner is stealing from the company, or my partner is, you know, taking clients and maybe leaving. And I, you know, I don't want to, you know, split up the business, something like a dispute or something like that. And the idea that we can take those apparent reasons and ask enough questions to drive them down to what I call compelling reasons. Mm-hmm. And the compelling reasons are the true reasons why someone's going to change their situation. In this case, changing a lawyer, a law firm, or engaging a lawyer or a law firm. And it's the personal and emotional reasons of that individual. It has nothing to do with the company, has nothing to do with anything other than that person is the one who's going to hire the lawyer. And if we can get that person to open up and share personal and emotional things, that's a lot like me opening up to a therapist and saying, telling the therapist all my secrets. I don't think at the end of that 50 minutes, because that's all they give you from what I hear, that, you know, hey, this was great. I feel so much better sharing all this personal information with you and really releasing all that. I'm going to go find someone else next week to talk to. Right. That's not a real situation.
No, you're going to keep drilling down. And the other piece is, especially in business conversations, when we start drilling down, it's that space of, I want to try to find what we call the quantified cost, the quantified impact. So great. I understand. Here's what happened. Let's talk a little bit about what's that cost you? How has that affected your organization? What's that cost you in productivity? What's that cost you in dollars? What's that cost you in time? And if the customer can tell us that information in a discovery conversation, all of a sudden we start uncovering the real reason, you know, the return on investment reason, which all of a sudden creates a place where, so for example, let's say my services are going to cost somebody $100,000. And if I don't do good discovery, if I don't find out that quantified pain, and I say, oh, well, my cost is $100,000. Whoa, $100,000, that's a lot of money. I'm talking to another guy who's doing it. He'll do what you're doing for $85,000. Now, that's a different conversation than if I find out that the problem you have is actually a $3 million problem. And you tell me all that, and you're the one who releases all of that information to me. And then I go, wow, that's a big problem. You know, I can help you fix that. It's only going to cost you $100,000. Oh, when do I get started?
You know, it's not a way. So you're talking about, you know, ROI and breaking down a massive, you know, problem into a solution that's minuscule in comparison from the standpoint of either expense or investment. And lawyers don't really do that at all. Like they've got clients that have multi-billion, multi-million dollar, you know, companies and problems that are huge. And even if you're at $650 an hour and might end up being a, you know, $300,000-$400,000 in billables, that may be minuscule or a drop in the bucket compared to what the real problems are costing that company. And that could be hard costs and soft costs, meaning the actual dollars and then the GC's time, the GC's energy. The GC's not sleeping at night worrying about these things, right? There's a cost to that. And we're not taking enough time to explore the detail in those meetings. Okay.
Wait, I've got a great story about that. We're selling to we were working with a coolant company for a manufacturing organization. Okay. And their coolant that they sell doesn't smell, whereas their competitor's coolant did. Right.
Okay.
And so, but their coolant was actually probably 15% higher than the competitor. So of course the first place is, I can't charge 50. I can't pay 15% more. Until they started doing the quantified pain and they found out that the guy on the plant floor lost his girlfriend because his girlfriend wouldn't go in his car anymore because his car smelled like him. And he had to change his clothes in the garage anytime he wanted to come home. And again, it's that space of, like you said, both professional but also personal pain, right?
Yeah.
And so now all of a sudden they were able to show this person, listen, you might be able to get your girlfriend back because of our coolant.
There we go.
I'm on board.
we're helping people make money and do things more efficiently, but we're getting love back into the mix. So we just gotta. And what's the coin? Can you quantify that? Probably not. Right? It's unquantifiable. All right. So there are lawyers listening that are saying, "All right, Steve, you and Tom are talking about when you get in front of a prospective client that, yes, we need to ask questions. We need to do deep dive discovery. We need to get into the weeds. That's all fine and good.
Yeah.
I'm not even getting a seat at the table. Like my prospecting activities are limited and I'm not even sure how to get the meeting or how to keep my energy up or how to, you know, I'm billing all these hours. How do I even get out there and generate, you know, traction to get in front of new people? So what are some of the kind of key tips that you work with companies on and salespeople on as it relates to getting in the door?
That's a big issue today too. And so Skip, founder of our organization, just published his seventh book called Outbounding. It was all about prospecting. And there's a few key things that are in that book in the space. So I want everybody on this call to think about, or on the podcast, to think about energy. And energy is created by trying to find a pain, trying to find a problem, right? And too many times we prospect by saying, oh, let me tell you about me. Here's why you should talk to me. The reality is you want to think about what's going on in that client's world. And so what we recommend is 3x3 research. So when you start prospect, you take a look at Google, LinkedIn, and the company's website that you're prospecting. You try to find three compelling reasons that they may want to even have a conversation with you. And your conversation in a prospecting world should be about, hey, are you suffering? You know, people, we work with folks like you all the time. They're telling us that these are the types of problems they're having. I don't know if those are the issues you're struggling with, but I'd love to have a conversation with you to see if I can help you.
I love what you're saying. And let's take that a different direction too. So most of the lawyers they're going to prospect differently in the sense that they're going to want to get referred in by another GC, by a client, by a network. So I want to flip what you just said a little bit to, they need to identify the top three pain points through the research you just mentioned that they solve. And you're not there to talk about the solutions. You're there to share the problems, because when you're talking with your client or when you're networking or talking with strategic partners, you know, that could be CPAs, financial planners, other lawyers, and you share the top pain points that you're solving, it might then be easier for them to relate that to a friend of theirs, a client of theirs.
I know someone who's struggling with that.
Again, it may be, they're struggling. Now, you're not saying you have these problems. I mean, even if you're talking to a prospective, you use a third party or you use an open-ended situation where, these are the kinds of things that we solve or I solve. And here are the problems people have. And then that's when light bulbs may start popping.
I'm a big fan, like I know you are. I'm a huge fan, I think the best way to get in door in the door is to get introduced in the door.
Yeah.
And even if so, either one, get introduced, or just be able to say, I see you're connected to Frank, said you're somebody I should talk to, whatever that is, you know, just that introduction or that connection can create a world of difference. You know, most we're seeing that in today's world, it's taking somewhere between 12 and 18 touches to sometimes have a first conversation with somebody. If you're only outbounding and trying to come in from the cold to try to create a real, you know, you're in a cold right. call and you're trying, but boy, if that's a warm call, it takes maybe two or three. If you get an introduction, and it may just take you a place to get somebody to return your call, but it's going to significantly reduce your work.
Yeah. And I've interviewed a lot of GCs, and I even have, you know, former GCs as clients, general counsels, and they will, you know, across the board say that even if they're working with law firms and lawyers in their current situation as a general counsel, if there's a lawyer recommended to them by someone they trust, they'll take the meeting. Now, it isn't to say that you're going to get the business, but they'll take the meeting, and out of curiosity, out of interest, or out of the relationship they have with the person who's recommending, then it's the lawyer's job to A, build a relationship and be non-salesy.
Yeah.
Okay. Number one. And number two is do your best to ask questions and identify that maybe even when they say they're happy with their current counselor, even when they say they're fine, that's a buyer's sort of stock answer, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
How are you doing with your CPA, Tom? Oh, it's my CPA is fine.
All good. It's all
and
good.
It's not. Your CPA is not responsive. Your CPA tells you about how much you're going to pay on tax day. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot more than you thought. I mean, there's a number of reasons why your CPA isn't fine, but that's your guttural reaction when someone asks you a question.
It's always funny. I liken it to you walk in, I need to buy a suit. I go to the department store and I'm walking around and the salesperson goes, hey, can I help you? Nope. Just looking. That's the normal
response. You even physically put your hands up to create a barrier between you and that salesperson to demonstrate the space.
Yeah.
That's what we have been trained as buyers to do. Yeah. So why are we surprised when GCs are hesitant to meet or when other people want to meet? So the only way to really do it these days, and especially at high level, is not cold solicitation. It's got to be done through networking. It's got to be done through trust, being a trusted advisor to people.
And like we talked, is when you have that conversation, it's not how can I help you? Tell me a little bit about what's going on, you know, and you just do really good discovery so that you're not someone who is, quote unquote, selling something. You're there to just understand and learn.
So you're more of a detective,
right?
But you got to soften up the questions. I even, you know, bring in Columbo. And if you're under 30, you don't even know who that is.
Love it.
Peter Falk played a character on TV called Columbo, and he was a great detective. And one of the things that he did was just incredible levels of curiosity.
Yeah.
And in some cases, feigning misunderstanding as a way to get to the truth, you know, and I apologize, I'm a little confused. Help me understand this. And then sure enough, the criminal would open up and say something.
I think Ted Lasso is today's Columbo.
Oh, Ted Lasso. Okay. I think
he's today's Columbo, that place of somebody who is just isn't pushing any agenda, but is just sitting and learning and observing. And I think it's really powerful. Yeah,
absolutely. And I want to sort of wrap up with a couple of suggestions around handling objections. And mostly when I teach my clients sales free selling, we don't have to deal with objections very often, mainly because when you make the entire meeting about the prospective client, not about rates, not about selling, not about solving, there's less objections. Like, how do people object when you've said nothing or very little? There's nothing to object to. However, if there might be questions about rates and that seems high, it might be about just the solution, there might be objections, there might be stalls, like sounds great, let me think about it. What is like your top one or two objection handling techniques, keeping in mind that the language has to be so soft and so natural that it doesn't even come across like a technique?
I hate to go old school all the way back, but I'm such a huge fan of feel, felt, found.
Oh man, that is taking me back.
Right? I understand how you feel. Others have felt the same way, but here's what they found. And it's so powerful. You know, I mean, it works really well. Exactly like you talked, it's soft. It's really soft. And it, definitely. I know exactly what you're talking about. A lot of the folks we work with have that exact same problem. But let me just tell you, when they do this or when they work this way, here's what they've seen. Here's what they found. And so just being conscious about using that feel, felt, found. The other thing we teach is if you do a great job in discovery, and that's why discovery is so critical. And if you find the quantified pain and you keep going back to what you heard early, well, here's, I don't know, let's reinforce the issue. The whole reason we're having this conversation in the first place is you told me that you needed to solve this. You told me it was costing you this much money. You told me it was costing you this much time. That's why we're having this conversation.
Yeah, if you go back to that, not only does it demonstrate a level of understanding and a level of listening that maybe they haven't experienced before with another lawyer, but then it's so much easier to keep them in that emotional personal state to make a decision and to drive it forward with urgency. And that's the big problem is people, buyers today are risk averse, they're hesitant, they're price sensitive. There's all these things, and I am too, and so are you. Everyone is. That's just the way that we have developed as buyers, okay? And some slower than others, that's okay.
Yeah.
And so people need to, when we can make it or they can make it about themselves and their own reasoning for moving forward. And our job is just to reiterate what they told us and to even write down and take notes and use their own words, not summarizing, right? So I think you said this and then I say something completely different or that's not as powerful is when they use their own words.
We use this thing, we call it the second call and beyond. So when you're talking about stalls, so let's say, you know, none of us are closing a deal on the first day. We're always second, third, fifth call, something like that. And it's a process. And it's critical that when we start off each one of those calls, last time we talked, you told me these were the issues. The first discovery conversation, you told me these were the issues. And we purposefully start conversations reminding why we're here in the first place. Today's agenda is this, but I want to remind you that this is why we're having this conversation in the first place.
Yeah. The other thing I'll add to it is just the ability to have empathy and to show that you're listening and to, you know, be able to leverage it to move it forward. If it's, let's say it's about, and the rates seem high. If you're able to go back to the well and talk about the problems, remember you mentioned earlier about this and that and the cost that you were incurring and all that. And based on that, you know, do you feel that these rates are suitable for that?
Yeah.
And if they say, oh, they seem high, you know, compared to what?
That's a
and
good
how
one
you come across it. And sometimes when rates are higher, you know, you could be more efficient. You could demonstrate, you know, ways that your fees, while they're higher, you know, the way that we staff it, the way that we work it, it's acting out better than maybe how you were before when it was done inefficiently. So there's ways around those things. You know, you just have to get basically the sale made or the new client committed. And then some of the other stuff you have to work through, like rates and timing and all that, becomes a little more academic and it just sort of happens.
So many times there's a difference between total cost and price, right? And I think getting customers to really see that price is different than the total cost of what I pay when I'm working with somebody. So,
And also your experience, you know, I'm not the cheapest guy on the block. So are you paying me for the 15 years I've done nothing but hustle to work and help attorneys grow? You're paying for that education, that knowledge, that expertise. You know, I'm not a spring chicken and it's not like I'm new to the space.
And so, that experience and expertise should probably save you hours, billable hours in the future, because I'm not going to have to learn the business while I'm charging you.
Right? Yes, exactly. Yeah. So there are lawyers listening to this, Tom, who say, you know what, I've got some businesses I work with sales teams and Tom would be great to bring in on, you know, to help my client out. How do they get in touch with you? What's your
My email address is tom@m3learning. My cell phone number is 847-528-2738. And our website is m3learning.com. So those are three easy ways to touch base. I'm also on LinkedIn and Twitter. So
And it's just so great to, you know, get on to have this conversation and just have an open, you know, sales conversation. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, look, we can call it business development. We can call it marketing. We can call it, you know, Freddie the Clown. I mean, we can call it whatever we want. At the end of the day, you know, we're out solving problems. You know, lawyers are out solving problems, but you can't solve problems if you don't have the clients. You know, we have to have a plan. We have to execute. We have to have discovery. We have to flip around the way that sales has been done. So it becomes more about asking, listening, learning, qualifying, right? Not about pitching, selling, convincing. Those are the outdated elements that, you know, you and I came up on, but I think now realize, you know, with buyers and how they've changed, we just keep pushing a rope. We've got to flip the switch on a new way of running meetings that's going to be more effective for everybody.
I'm going to recommend everybody watch. It's a 2-minute video. It's called It's Not About the Nail. I'm sure you've seen it, Steve. It's a funny, a woman has a nail sticking in her head, and the man she's talking to is telling her, hey, I can pull that nail out quickly. And I think when you watch that video so many times, especially for those of for the lawyers who we've seen this problem 100 times before, I know exactly how to fix it. So let me just come in and let me solve it for you. I think our job is not necessarily to go in and solve the problem. Our job is to help the client really voice the issue that they're having and come to their conclusion that, oh, you're somebody who could help me do that. Yeah. So, you know, it's that let's not jump in and try to pull the nail. Let's actually help the customer recognize that they have a problem, recognize what it's costing them, and that they need to be powerful in making that decision. So,
yeah, absolutely spot on. So, Tom, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Steve. This was great.
Yeah, we have a good time together. Hey, everybody, listen, thank you for spending some time with Tom and I today. You know, if you didn't get a couple of takeaways, a couple of things to jot down, then you weren't paying attention. You're sleeping through the show. Don't do that. It's always best to stay awake.
And especially when you're driving.
Especially if you're driving, don't fall asleep, even if you got a Tesla.
Yeah.
Listen, it's all about being that lawyer, someone who's confident, organized, and a skilled rainmaker. Take care, everybody. Be safe. Be well.
Thanks for listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Visit Steve's website, Fretson.com, for additional information and to stay up to date on the latest legal business development and marketing trends. For more information and important links about today's episode, check out today's show notes.